The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from blackenterprise.com. The first article is titled, Three Investment Gifts for Kids That Cost as Little as $20. Tis the season when children lose their minds and actually visualize their parents as walking, talking ATMs with no direct ties to Santa Claus. Visions of sugar plums and visions of them playing their favorite new video game or running through the neighborhood in their new KDs not only dance through their heads, but they seem unable to utter a single sentence without somehow getting in an ask. Quote, unquote. Each holiday season, I usually make my 10-year-old son figure out which company makes the majority of the stuff he wants, and I buy a share of stock in that company for him. Over the past few years, he has received shares of Nike, Microsoft, and Apple, to name a few. The following are a few gift ideas. Number 2, Spark Gift. While my gift was intended to get my child to invest on a regular basis, if you want to give a one-time gift of stock or ETFs, a Spark Gift is a great option. The site lets you buy fractions of shares and funds in increments starting at $20. They provide recommendations for popular choices and will send a gift certificate to the lucky recipient in minutes. Spark Gift charges a fee of $3 plus 3%. The recipient doesn't pay anything to redeem their shares or hold their investment. Number 3, savings bonds. While they don't have the same potential for investment growth, a tried and true financial gift worth more than cash is the savings bond. Click to go to the U.S. Treasury's website, Treasury Direct. As the site states, when you buy savings bonds as gifts, you must hold them in your Treasury Direct account for at least 5 business days before delivering them to the recipient. You must be 18 or older to create a Treasury Direct account and buy gift bonds. A child under 18 can get gift deliveries in a minor linked account, which is established within the Treasury Direct account of the parent or guardian. While there is nothing wrong with giving cold, hard cash, a few minutes of your time can create an investment and experience for the children you love that will literally help them live richer lives. The next article is titled, Baltimore Mayor's Business Recognition Awards Honor Community Commitment. Afro reports Mayor Brandon M. Scott recently hosted the 49th Annual Mayor's Business Recognition Awards alongside the Greater Baltimore Committee and Baltimore Development Corporation, highlighting 14 firms dedicated to Baltimore's growth and community well-being. The ceremony held on December 13th recognized businesses with outstanding leadership and a commitment to enhancing the quality of life for Baltimore residents. Mayor Scott emphasized the event's goal of inspiring leaders to innovate ways to support their communities and contribute to the city's overall progress. In a statement, Scott said, collectively, we can address Baltimore's most pressing challenges, create opportunities for growth, and continue to strengthen our connections to one another. This year, the GBC shifted the awards ceremony to align with its multi-year agenda focused on advancing the Greater Baltimore region toward equitable economic growth. Awardees were evaluated based on their contributions in at least one of five categories, including economic opportunity, acting as ambassadors for the Baltimore region, local investment, supporting safe and vibrant communities, and community development. Among the distinguished winners were the B&O Railroad Museum, Care First Blue Cross Blue Shield, Downtown Partnership of Baltimore, Ellison Global Logistics, Huns Honey, No Struggle, No Success, Northern Real Estate Urban Ventures, Pariety, Pimlico Merchants Association, Ted Co., The Bit Sitter, United Healthcare, The Verve Partnership, and Women of Valor. Mark Anthony Thomas, President and CEO of GBC, expressed appreciation for the recognized organizations, stating the organizations celebrated with this year's Mayor's Business Recognition Awards represent the type of transformation around economic opportunity that GBC has been working diligently toward fostering in the Baltimore region over the past 11 months. Parity, founded by Bree Jones in 2020, was recognized for its impactful community development work. The West Baltimore-based Equitable Development Company employs a block-by-block approach to revitalize abandoned homes and create affordable home ownership opportunities. In June, Parity unveiled its first two completed homes in the Harlem Park neighborhood, with plans to renovate an additional 94 homes in the coming years. Bree Jones, CEO and founder of Parity, expressed gratitude for the acknowledgement, stating, "I appreciate GBC and the mayor for recognizing our small but mighty organization working on the ground to tackle the vacancy issue while building wealth for Black homeowners." The next article is titled, "Black Winemakers Celebrated at Harlem Wine Gallery." Harlem Wine Gallery has been a community fixture for the past 4.5 years. Founded by Pascal and Danon Lewis, longtime residents in the New York City neighborhood, the Wine Gallery represents their commitment to their community and the world of fine wines. The establishment's charm lies in its dedication to showcasing small production wines, particularly promoting community health, now this news reported. Notably, Harlem Wine Gallery takes pride in its focus on women and Black winemakers and has a dedicated table showcasing the contributions of women winemakers. The commitment to diversity and inclusion extends to the design of the gallery itself, featuring a spacious back room ideal for tastings and private events, aligning with the venue's vision for community engagement, according to Sprudge. As Pascal and Danon Lewis navigate the evolving landscape of the wine industry, their wine gallery remains a beacon of appreciation for quality wines and a celebration of the diversity within the winemaking community. Whether you're a wine enthusiast or a newcomer to the world of fine wines, Harlem Wine Gallery welcomes all to experience the rich tapestry of flavors and stories woven into each bottle, making it a quintessential destination for both locals and visitors alike. For those outside of New York City who wish to partake and support the curated selection of wines at Harlem Wine Gallery, the opportunity is just a click away. By visiting harlemwinegallery.com, enthusiasts from every corner of the globe can explore and purchase wines crafted by Black-owned winemakers. Whether you're seeking a unique gift, expanding your wine collection, or simply indulging in a new tasting experience, harlemwinegallery.com serves as the virtual gateway to Harlem Wine Gallery. The next article is titled, Vice President Kamala Harris Will Kick Off a Reproductive Freedom Tour in 2024. Vice President Kamala Harris will be starting her national tour focusing on reproductive rights in January, according to CNN. The Biden-Harris administration believes that abortion will play a key role in mobilizing voters in the 2024 election cycle. On January 22, 2024, Harris's tour will kick off in Wisconsin, which is a key swing state on the electoral map. January 22nd is also the 51st anniversary of the original Roe v. Wade ruling, which until June 2022 allowed abortion as a constitutional right. Biden campaign communications director Michael Tyler told the platform that he believes abortion will be an issue that separates the Biden and Trump campaigns. Tyler called the focus on abortion a central pillar of the campaign moving forward. In an appearance on MSNBC's The Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell, Harris spoke about the Biden-Harris administration's belief in the autonomy women should be able to assert over their own bodies, saying, President Joe Biden and me, we trust women to be able to make a decision about what's in their best interest, and women can trust us to protect their individual freedoms. Harris announced her tour in a Twitter X post saying, the majority of Americans agree. The government should not be telling a woman what to do with her body. Voters have been clear from California and Kansas to Ohio and Virginia. In January, I will be hitting the road to make sure the voice of the people is heard. Reproductive freedom has received increased scrutiny over the last few weeks due to the cases of Brittany Watts and Kate Cox, whose cases illustrate the complexity that the repeal of reproductive rights has created, particularly in states run by conservatives. Ohio and Texas, where the two women live, respectively, are both solidly red states. Anti-abortion advocates in Ohio are currently working with lawmakers to institute a total ban, even though voters codified abortion into law via a vote. The Texas Supreme Court ruled December 11th that even though Cox's pregnancy threatened the life of her fetus, she could not get an abortion. Cox eventually left the state to have the procedure performed. The events of these cases further illustrate to those who believe in the reproductive rights that the government should have no say in the process of carrying a child. Harris released a statement speaking to this idea, saying, I will continue to fight for our fundamental freedoms while bringing together those throughout America who agree that every woman should have the right to make decisions about her own body, not the government. According to CNN, it is expected that Harris's toll will highlight the stories of people who have been impacted by the repeal of Roe v. Wade. Julie Chavez Rodriguez, Biden's campaign manager, told CNN that the stories have resonated with voters, saying, "It's critical that we continue to lift up these stories and really remind women that what's at stake in this election and really the choice that they have before them." The next article is titled, "Black Girls Run, Organization Fosters Fitness Inclusivity." A new study by professors L. Blackman Carr and J. Kolinwinski at University of Connecticut, UConn, spotlights how Black Girls Run, a nationwide community group, empowers Black women to be physically active amid alarming health disparities. The researchers analyze the Black Girls Run Facebook page to understand how it fosters fitness engagement. Their findings, published in JMR Formative Research, showcase an inclusive approach other health initiatives could emulate. UConn Today at the University of Connecticut reported. Blackman Carr explained that a good number of traditional fitness spaces alienate Black women's body types. On the contrary, Black Girls Run nurtures a welcoming community. CEO of the organization, J.L. Alexander, affirmed, "We are moving and motivating women to change the narrative of what running and health looks like." The UConn scholars intentionally highlighted the group's strengths rather than deficiencies, Kalinwinski said. "Rather than going around and trying to create things from scratch, why don't we look to the people, seeing what they're already doing and how we can support that?" Analyzing posts and member interactions, the predominant focus was celebrating achievements, offering motivation, and promoting group exercise events. This social support garnered the most reaction and engagement. The researchers advocate for building on these effective grassroots efforts instead of imposing interventions. Kalinwinski expressed that digital platforms like Facebook, combined with in-person chapters, provide avenues to expand the initiative's reach. Overall, the scholars praised the participatory approach deployed by Black Girls Run and encouraged further research partnerships. Still, promoting Black health amid ongoing racism poses challenges. Blackman Carr referred to Ahmaud Arbery's murder while jogging as emblematic of some of the dangers still faced. She said physical activity promotion must address systemic inequities. The next article is titled, "Beretta Clark Appointed as Dean of Loyola Law School." Beretta Clark has been announced as Loyola Marymount University Law School's newest dean. She is the first Black woman to hold the title in the university's 103-year history. Clark's historic appointment has been years in the making. Having worked as a teacher for over two decades, she also had a brief five-month tenure as interim dean of the school before officially taking office. Now Clark has been integrated into a network of leading Black women in academia who are heralding a new era for law students. "I do hope the fact that my existence will help show someone, oh, actually, I can get that far. That looks like me. I can see myself there," Clark said about the achievement. Loyola Marymount University Executive Vice President and Provost Thomas Pone, Ph.D., shared his excitement about the decision. "I am thrilled to welcome Beretta Clark as the new Fritz B. Burns Dean of LMU Loyola Law School, he said. Her unparalleled expertise, combined with her passion for advancing research and education, and her commitment to diversity and inclusion, makes her an exceptional leader to propel our law school into a future of excellence and innovation. Clark continued saying, "We need to make sure that communities we are serving are reflected, that their views are known, and that people understand what kind of problems exist that we need to try to solve." CBS News reports that law schools have undergone significant changes to promote diversity initiatives amid controversial legislation and restrictions. Several subjects, including abortion rights, LGBTQ+ rights, and affirmative action, have had headlines these past few years, and Clark's selection indicates the shift. "This is a place where we integrate the law," she said, "where we're all about social justice. We think about inequality, right? And yet it has taken a long time for the Legal Academy to start to have its leadership and even its professors and faculty and students really reflect the diversity of America." The next article is titled, "Christopher Gray Hated His Experience Looking for College Scholarships, So He Created Scholly." Christopher Gray, a native of Birmingham, Alabama, wanted to be the first person in his family to attend college, but he couldn't afford it on his own and didn't want to take out student loans that would leave him thousands of dollars in debt. He had to find a scholarship. For him, the process was unforgettable because of his naivety. "I went through this long process of looking for scholarships. It took months and months of going through different websites, watching out for scams," Gray told Black Enterprise. "It was a really painful and arduous process." Gray received more than $1 million in scholarships and attended Drexel University. However, he never forgot what he went through to find a scholarship, along with two friends founded Scholly, an app that helps students easily find scholarships for college and for graduates to pay off their student debt. Scholly uses an algorithm created by its team that uses factors such as age and the major a person is interested in to find the most compatible scholarships. Scholly's team vets each scholarship to assure it is legitimate. "One of the reasons why it's hard to find a scholarship is everyone wants to create a scholarship, but people don't know how to market scholarships, and so everyone's posting everything everywhere," Gray said. "We use eligibility keywords to assure that we are matching you with the scholarships that you are looking for as an individual." Scholly can be used by high school students and current college students looking for scholarships. Last year, 41% of families that qualify for scholarships did not apply at all, so nearly half of eligible applicants did not apply. Also, a lot of people don't know that you can apply for scholarships while you're attending college, so a lot of scholarships are going unclaimed because people just stop applying once they're in college. So making students aware that you can still apply for scholarships is another big part of the app, said Gray. He began by creating the app while he was still in school. In 2014, he took Scholly national when he appeared on NBC's Shark Tank to promote the app. The idea of one centralized app for college scholarships was so popular among the hosts that Gray's appearance led to an animated back and forth between the host, including FUBU founder Damon John. I was a senior in college at the time, so I was pretty young, and it was a really interesting experience, Gray told Black Enterprise. The whole appearance was about 30 minutes, but it was edited down to 7 minutes, and I didn't even see the fight until it aired. The appearance was in the summer of 2014, but it didn't air until February 2015. Gray's Shark Tank appearance led to a barrage of offers and opportunities for Scully. The app was number one on iPhone and Android for a month after the episode aired, and Scully received offers from cities and individuals alike to promote their scholarships. Earlier this year, education lender Sallie Mae acquired Scholly, allowing the app to be free for students. Today, Scholly is one stop shop for scholarships and sports exclusive scholarships from companies and celebrities, including Amazon, Google, musician Lil Nas X, and actor Jesse Williams. Last month, Sallie Mae commemorated National Scholarship Month by announcing the latest cohort of its Bridging the Dream Scholarship for high school seniors, providing 25 of them with $10,000 scholarships to attend HBCU schools. As for Gray, he is about to film the Shark Tank update on Schooly, showcasing the app's success since it was first introduced on the show. For me, this is a full circle moment. Even getting ready to do the Shark Tank update is powerful because it just shows you how many people we helped, Gray told Black Enterprise. I have people walk up to me all the time and tell me they've got a scholarship through Scholly, and being able to be a part of that and being able to build something to this point is just a full circle moment, and it's just something me and my team are really proud of. The next article is titled, How the Campbell Family Built Generations of Property Ownership and Community Building. A Washington, D.C. family has built a legacy through holding its properties for generations. The New York Times profiled the Campbell family, whose members can trace their emphasis on ownership either of land or buildings back to an ancestor who was a former sharecropper in Maryland. In 2020, Christine Campbell and her two brothers bought a bed and breakfast in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Yes, that Gettysburg, and became the first Black hospitality proprietors in the town's history. Black people, by the numbers, face historic discrimination in housing going back to redlining and stretching to today, where both Black home buyers and sellers often face discrimination all along the home ownership process. Still, Campbell, well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.